Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, and I'm going to do another segment of rambling and then get to the weekly reads. I was just recently on Nerdy Legion, and I was very fortunate to be on that podcast because it is my favorite podcast with Nick and Martin. And the reason I like it is because they seem so much like me. And in other words, they like to talk just natural. They don't have like a set plan when they go into a podcast, and that's what I like to do when I podcast. I don't like to plan. I like to it just to be off the cuff. I like to read what I want to read. And I really wanted a podcast. So I saw these guys. We were at Costco. Like for the first time, Barb bought a membership and we're just buying a ton of stuff. And I don't know why we bought, because it's like bulk and there's only two of us. So it was a crazy day. We were there for at least an hour and a half, it seemed like. And I saw them as I was going through Costco. I was looking on Twitter because Martin's off Facebook now, but he's on Twitter and they were talking about, doing an episode and talking about Martin. Downsizing or deciding what to do because he's not satisfied with the way he's collecting. And I was like, damn, I'd like to be on that discussion. And I was fortunate enough to get on it. Plus, I was hungry because I just came off vacation and I haven't recorded a podcast with anybody in such a long time that I was like, man, I really need to do this. I was supposed to record with Bill, but he got sick. And then I couldn't redirect because he let me know last minute. Normally, I'd redirect and say, "Well, maybe I could get a retro in, and I can either get Rob or Chris to show up." But because it was like 15 minutes before recording, I couldn't redirect. And then I was like, "Well, you know what? I haven't done a Mike M's Collector's Corner in a long time, so maybe I could get Hostin to do it." And then Hostin, it was kind of too last minute for him, so. I was like, oh man, that plan went out. So I was like, man, I really want a podcast. And it turned out that I was on Nerdy Legion, which is my favorite podcast. And you never know what you're gonna get, but it, in my opinion, if you like Geek Brunch, you will love Nerdy Legion because it's similar. It has even less format than Geek Brunch. Geek Brunch at least goes through its segments that. It's total chaos and random, but we have our comics, our TV, and our movies. They kind of do that, but it's like out of total natural order, like all over the place. And Nick and Martin's younger than me, so but he's got the same mentality as me. Like there's some podcasters that don't have the same mentality as me, and it's hard for me to relate to him. He's got the same mentality as me. So even though we have the a lot of likes, we have a lot of not the same opinions on stuff, but because we're from the same mindset or a similar mindset, I love listening to Martin, and he's younger. Where Nick is in my wheelhouse just by age, like he's there and he gets it, and that's what I love about. That podcast, it's just a magical podcast, and I really enjoy listening to it. They finally released the Star Trek episode with Josh, who used to be in the Ivar's Lom Box, which I enjoyed, which is a random book. I've always liked the concept of a random book, and part of that even got me into podcasting because. Derek Coward used to do that way back. I mean, I'm talking 12 years ago. He used to do a random comic review. He except he wouldn't just do it on Valiant. It would just be whatever's in his collection. And I don't know how he number generated it, but it was pretty magical. You never knew what you were gonna get, and you never knew what kind of emotions or likes or dislikes he would get in a reread. But yeah, he was talking about Star Trek, and I haven't finished listening to the episode, but man, Josh is well versed in Star Trek. And as far as Star Trek goes, I like Deep Space Nine a lot. I like the original series and I like the movies, but I wouldn't touch the Next Generation with the 10-foot pole just because every time I try it, I just can't get into any of the characters. I just can't, and I don't know why. Whereas the original cast seems like family, and Deep Space Nine seems like something else entirely. So, I just got a text from Justin Ehart. That's cool. I thought it was Barb saying I'm on my way home, and then I would have to cancel this when she drove it up. But it looks like I have a little bit of time. It's Friday. This one probably will not be released for a week, but I have already one in the can, and I'm gonna release that tonight. But I at least have things to release. And I still have to figure out DC Noise. So here's what's happening with DC Noise. Keith doesn't have Skype anymore. He refuses to buy a computer that's not Windows ME because he feels he doesn't need it. So he had a phone that would die even when plugged in, when charging. And our new Skypes, we were forced to update. And I could not call his old Skype. I think it was Daryl's doing because Daryl had he did it from a mobile unit, and the mobile Skypes are very unforgiving, whereas the PC-driven Skypes are a little more forgiving. Just drinking some tea, and I'm walking around, so if I seem winded, I'm walking from place to place. I like to move when I'm talking. So that's what's going on with DC Noise, and even then, scheduling seems sporadic. You know, once every 2 months, you'll be lucky to get a DC Noise. So next time he got a new battery for his phone, so we're gonna try over the phone again, which means the quality is not as good, but you still get some Keith, which is a little bit of Keith is better than no Keith. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about? I still haven't figured out what to do with DC Weekly Reads, but it will definitely come back. I don't know if it'll be once a month or once every other week or what. I just need my schedule to slow down, and it might even get worse because I might be changing jobs, and I'm going from a place where I understand the domain really, really, really well to a domain that I might not understand very well. And you always have to have that extra time put in just so you can ramp up to start understanding the domain. So, I don't know, but I'll always do something because I get that itch. I get that itch. So, yeah, check out Nerdy Legion. Roughly, we talked about what Martin should do. And it's weird. I could give advice, but I can't take my own advice. It's easy for me to logically think about somebody else, like what to do. But when it's my own stuff, my mind is racing. Like, I could do like a flow chart, like in software engineering. You know, you do an old school flow chart, or you do UML, you know, use cases, and try to figure out how, or an activity diagram is a better term in UML that relates to a flow chart. A flow chart's kind of outdated term, but I'm old. And I'm actually feeling old. I don't know why I feel old. I want to stay young. I want to live forever, but it ain't gonna happen. But anyway, I could go through an activity diagram, you know, if this, do this, do this activity, blah blah blah. And when I try to logically think about cutting, it's really hard for me personally, because of the way I read and because of how passionate I am about things and because my mood can swing like in many, many, many directions. One thing I know is if I have to cut back, I want to keep getting the Epic collections. I want to have a full run of that in Marvel. So if I have to cut back for some reason, like job, etc., I will go to Epic Collections, even though it's older material, and then I would go to a Marvel Unlimited subscription and read everything 6 months later. And they're putting out like a lot of stuff that I'm interested in. Like, there is a new Shang-Chi book coming out. I'm not crazy about the writer that's going to be writing it, CM Punk, and he wrote a Drax book. He's not bad. He's just a wrestler, and I don't get his stuff very well. Like, I don't, it doesn't click with me as much as some other writers would. But it's Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. So it's like, oh, I don't know. And then there's Silver Sable coming back. Oh my gosh. Like, I used to love the Silver Sable title. And they're all starting with original numbering. So, like, that would be a good way to for me to figure out if I could go to the Marvel Unlimited. And then just like the way I keep track of it is I would write books that I'm interested in reading digitally. And then my collector brain kicks off. Like, I have problems. I have a full run of Darkhawk, that 90s character, and I enjoyed it. Well, there's another one coming out with the legacy numbering, Darkhawk number 51. So I was like, what do I do? Do I pick that up? Because then The Completist comes out for that particular title, not because I absolutely love that character. I enjoy that character. Do I need to have it? Probably not. Do I want it? Yes. And then the collector mentality comes out for Not Brand Ek. This was Forbush Man and was a comedy book. But again, like, do I need to have that? No. But would I like to? Yes, because the completist mentality, because I have a full run of Not Brand Ek. I don't want to break it. And then you got Power Pack 63. I personally have never grown attached to Power Pack, and I only have like a couple issues because when I was younger, we'd still go on those truck vacations and we'd stop at these places called Stuckey's. And Stuckey's was a gas station and restaurant and store that you would stop in between places. And I remember my dad used to always get the pecan log. He used to always get that. And me and my brother would get those candies that were chocolate and then they had the cherry in the middle and the cherry cream. I forget what they're called. I remember them distinctively, and as I talk about them, I can actually taste it in my mouth even though I'm not eating one. And then they'd have a spinner rack, and you never knew what you were going to get. Well, I had picked up a couple Power Pack issues off of that. And I never got into it, but it's always been something that sort of interests me. Well, Power Pack comes back in the latest previews. And then, like I said, Master of Kung Fu comes back with 126 and Silver Sable number 36. And that's an awesome cover by Mahmoud Ashrar. Really cool. And speaking of covers, the legacy covers continue this month. That whole fiasco. And I saw the new email that Buddy from mycomicshop.com put out about the lenticulars. And the thing I liked about him is he's like a smart owner. Like, he's not going off emotion. Like, emotionally, you might want to say, Marvel, you motherfuckers, I can sell 15 copies of, or 50 copies of Iron Man regular cover. And then you throw a lenticular, and the lenticular guys, I mean, the guys who get Iron Man want the lenticular instead of the regular cover. But the way they have the ordering, it's like order 150% of this issue of Iron Man, and you can get any amount of lenticular covers, which is, they always do these shenanigans if you didn't know. And it really hurts shop owners, 'cause, and that's why you see huge piles of books. It's not because The owner usually doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, they survived in this business long enough. They know what they're doing. They just know they can sell books for more. Well, the lenticulars will probably go for cover. So it's like you really have to gamble. And they opted out, which and he logically went through a bunch of math equations and explained to you how this works. I already kind of knew because my shop owner decided to go for him, but he's a smaller shop. He had to order 50 copies of Iron Man, regular cover, just to get the lenticular, which he's going to sell for regular price, or maybe he'll jack them up because there is a scarcity now because a lot of retailers are going middle finger. Yeah, I don't blame him. You want to play that Missio song, Middle Fingers, to Marvel. I think DC has a way better business policy with their lenticulars because you could just order the lenticular or order the regular cover and you don't have to go through hoops to get it. And also, their cover A's and cover B's, you can just order whichever one you like. That I prefer. Now, speculators probably prefer this shenanigans. Because it causes rarity and it causes people to have to go through hoops to get a book. It causes them to have to go to eBay to try to get a book instead of getting it from their regular retailer. So, yeah, it's crazy shenanigans. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the assignment. I read The Assignment from Titan Comics. They're hard case crime books. I love them. I keep saying Peep Show, but it's Peep Land, The Assignment, Normandy Gold, and Trigger Man. And they also have the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo comic books coming out of that line as well, which were made into films, and one was Americanized into film. I haven't seen the foreign films of that yet, but I have seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It was an excellent movie. But anyway, I was blown away by The Assignment by Titan Comics. I found out there was a movie, and better yet, it was a movie that was available on Amazon Prime for free if you were a Prime customer. So I said, "Man, this comic was so good that I would check it out as soon as I watched it." And I did. I watched The Assignment and it was very mediocre. Matter of fact, if I had watched The Assignment and then saw the comic book, I would say there's no way in fucking hell I would read The Assignment. No way. Because the movie sucked, so how could it be better? And it's weird because Walter Hill directs it and he wrote the screenplay, and yet he did the same thing with the comic book, but it was adapted by somebody else. But as you see the execution of the two properties, one of them just didn't translate well. Like The Assignment, I don't want to spoil it, but it has to do with a man becoming a woman, okay? And it's in crime noir. And in this case, it's Michelle Rodriguez. And man, she doesn't make a good. You think she'd have that structure? She's that tough woman, and she could like morph into a man good, but she didn't. And then it had man, I'm not gonna Ripley from Aliens. I can't remember her name, which that's just the white spots in my head. She played one of the doctors. And then they had the guy from Cheers. They had like actors that so you'd think the execution would be more spot on. But I don't know what it was. Like I can't describe what caused it to not be a good film. I would have to go with the direction and partially the direction and the way they were told to act. It just didn't capture the emotion and the shock value that the comic book introduced. It did not. But I wanted to bring that up. And then I talked about Batman Elmer Fudd on Nerdy Legion, and I was so excited. It could be one of my favorite comic books of all time, single issue. And it just strikes so much emotion. There's something about the memories of those Looney Tunes that just peaked when I read this. And not only did it peak, I was in that pulp mood because I was reading hard case crime books. And it just hit at the right time. And this was Tom King, so I was already hesitant. I was like, nah, this ain't gonna work for me, but I wanna read it. And I read it, and holy crap, did he nail Elmer Fudd. And it's done in a crime noir setting. It has to do with a potential murder and Elmer Fudd tracking down Bruce Wayne because of that potential murder. And it has one of my favorite female supporting casts for Bruce Wayne, and that's Silver St. Cloud, romantic love interest. And I absolutely love that character. And I'm biased towards that character. Like, I still want to find out what happens in Kevin Smith's Cacophony. Like, he had two series. I can't even remember the title. There was one, and there was Cacophony, and then there was supposed to be one other one. And it was supposed to finish the story arc of what and happened with Silver St. Cloud, and I'm still dying to know. I'm still dying because I love her. But so did Elmer Fudd. But the thing is that's magical. For one thing, I didn't see his formulaic repetition that drives me crazy. So it worked at a level. Nostalgia worked was like at a peak. And each voice that was in the bar, whether it be Bugs, Elmer Fudd, Tweety, the frog that could talk, hello, my baby, hello, my baby. Marvin the Martian, he was at the bar. You had Foghorn Leghorn playing cards and saying, boy, to Yosemite Sam, who's my next favorite one. Yosemite's up there for me, like, big time, because Yosemite's magic goes along with everybody's frustration in life, but he goes over the top. And the more frustrated he gets, the more in trouble he gets. And really, in reality, that's a lot of people because they get frustrated, they respond on emotion, that first emotion that they get, instead of letting it sit and think. Well, that's Yosemite Sam, but he was playing cards with, the only ones I didn't see was I don't remember seeing Porky Pig, and he could have showed up. Sylvester did show up. He came up with this succotash and suffering succotash, and all the dialogue was a magical, and you feel so passionate about Elmer. You really do, even though he's carrying around a shotgun. When I read this. And everybody knows that I don't like Batman. I mean, I'm not enjoying it. But when I read that one, I posted on Facebook, and I'm going to read my post because it was a lengthy one if I can find it, because I haven't read that much lately. But I will find it because I want to capture what I felt when I read it. There's a bunch of OMAC stuff for Kirby Day. Hello, my baby. Hello, my doo 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 doo. I wish there was a way to. Well, I guess there is a way to bookmark. This is what I wrote when I read it on August 27th. Many of you know I have not been enjoying Tom King's Batman. Because of this, I was holding off reading Batman Elmer Fudd. Today I sat down and read this, and it could be one of the best single issues I have ever read in my entire life. The voices in the crime noir story from the Looney Tunes brought a tear to my eye. I had goosebumps the entire time reading it. Leet Week's art blew my mind. How do you read a comic book after this? You don't, for a while. You just let it sit back and bask in your happy space, thinking and crying a little bit. And I said, this is above a 5 out of 5. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't read a comic book for 2 freaking days after reading this because I didn't want to come off that peak, that high of how fantastic this thing was to me. And I cried out of happiness, not because I was sad, but because I got real emotional. And when I get emotion, I used to get this in movies, and Barb used to make fun of me. When I used to see a preview for like a Star Wars trailer or a superhero film, I used to get these goosebumps on my arm, and Barb would like go feel them every time she saw, or when the movie opened up and they played the theme music, I would get these weird goosebumps on my arm just from excitement, and she'd feel it. I don't get those anymore when I go see a film, and I think it's because the film industry has desensitized me by putting out a comic book movie every week. The same thing with the TV shows. And it's kind of like it used to be something like that was special and I had to wait years for, and now there's one every week. So it's done something to me. Whereas comic books, every now and then I can still get those goosebumps because there's some emotional tie to my past. Like some people might read this and not get what I got out of it. And but I think if you're from my generation and you spent a lot of time reading Looney Tunes and you loved it, you will love this. And just throw in the Batman and throw in Silver St. Cloud. And you put that together along with Tom's writing and Lee Week's art, and it becomes something above a 5 out of 5. It was for me. And every time I think, hey, maybe Tom's not for me, he throws a fastball, like he throws that curve, and then it curves in instead of striking, throwing a ball. And I'm like, wow, that was a beautiful strike. It was just in there and it hit perfect spot. Well, that's what Tom did to me with this book. He was like walking everybody for me, okay? Not when I meant everybody, I don't mean all the fans that are reading it. He for me. And then he throws a strike so beautiful that you can't take your eyes off of it or you can't stop thinking about it. And then Tim Terrell comes on my wall and says, what did he say?" He says, "Oh, you're oh, he points a gif, so that's a little too much. Like I'm being a little too much. That's a bit much." But he doesn't know me. I've met him like once in life, and he doesn't know. Like Barb knows how emotional I get when I read comic books. And for this book, I was reading out Elmer Fudd as Elmer Fudd's voice. I was reading Tweety as Tweety, even though I suck at impersonations, my mind just wanted to read it out loud, and I did, and I enjoyed the fuck out of it. So, man, yeah, some people get shit like that, and some people just don't get that emotion. Like they enjoy stuff, but not at the level that they could cry or get goosebumps. And I feel sorry for those people. Because when something brings across an emotion like that, you really have to experience it. It's a joy that you want to experience like every day of your life, because it just gives the endorph. It's just things just start to hit, and it's like some people get it, some people don't. But those of you that do get it, you'll get me. Yep. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about. And then the last thing is I even forgot. Oh, Jack Sutherland asked because I like the Inhumans so much if I was gonna go see the thing on the IMAX, and I'm curious to watch it because I do love the Inhumans, like I've always have, especially like Black Bolt and Medusa. Well, no, I love Karnak too. Karnak is up there. And then who could not love Lockjaw and Crystal? Oh my God. I love all the Inhumans. And I always have. And I even like the new tiers of Inhumans that Charles Soule introduced. I don't get Moon Girl yet. It does. I don't not feeling it, but I am starting to feel her in Monsters Unleashed, where she's meets another Inhuman that can like draw monsters and make them become reality. That one I'm enjoying a lot, and I don't know if that's a nostalgic button that's hitting too, because recently I was picking up a lot of like Strange Tales and Tales to Astonish Monster Editions. And I became really attached to the monsters and these crazy ass stories. And I also bought the omnibuses of those stories. So it could be biasing me towards liking Monsters Unleashed. I don't know. I don't know. I some people the thing I always and I don't really give a fuck, but I always worry that people will listen to me and get excited about something and then read something and then say, what was he thinking? Like, that's gonna happen because you're not me. My excitement can't translate to your experience because we're all different people and we have all different experiences, and what you experience, I might not experience, and vice versa. So you just gotta follow your heart when you listen to people talk about comics, and you gotta say, "Is this person like me? Does this per do I like what he usually likes?" And go from there. But that's all I have to say on that, other than there are so many trades that are coming out now that look and feel like epic collections that I have to purchase them. They had the Punisher Suicide Run, which I'm probably taking with me on a trip just so I can reread this, because I really enjoyed it when it was out. And then they have Heroes for Hire by Abnett and Lanning. That was a series that came out. And it, really, if you wanted, what I would have done if I was them is I would have just made it an epic collection and continued it with Power Man and Iron Fist and said Power Man and Iron Fist Volume 3 or Volume 4 or whatever it turns out to in the chronological order. And then, you know, they started the Luke K sorry, the Iron Fist Epic Collections. It's almost like they have like a weird criteria that's not well explained as what becomes an epic collection or not. And it could be by date. I haven't figured it out yet. Like, if you're past 1990 something or 1990, you can't be in an epic collection. Like, the Cloak and Dagger volumes, they're not epic collections, but they are sequential and they fit, look and feel like an epic collection. Son of Satan feels like an epic collection, but it's not. And maybe it's because there was no other volume to put out. The Elektra trade that came out of Volume 1, it feels like an epic collection. I just purchased two Luke Cage volumes, which are not epic collections, but they should be. They should be in a Cage epic collection. I would just like it all together. It would be nice. And I don't care what order you put it out, just put it out. But that's all I have to say, and coming up in a few minutes is what the weekly reads were for that week. So stand by. Oh, I have two last minute questions I want to add that just came in. And I talked about one already. Rob Krieger says, Krieger, God dang it, I did it again, son of a bitch. My buddy Rob says, can you give us some of your thoughts on the Marvel Lenticular controversy? I already talked about it. I'm holding out. I'm not gonna buy it. I if it was a DC one, I would think twice about it. I would probably get it. Not at another price, or if I had to jump through hoops. But if I could just pre-order it like on DCBS, the DCBS one had all of them purchasable, but you had to get them by the bundle. So, and they had They look beautiful. It just has a bunch of titles I wasn't getting, like America, and there was a handful of them. I don't know if Champions was one. There were several of them that I don't get. But he says, what are your thoughts on the Valiant pre-bundles? Valiant pre-bundles. It's an interesting way to sell stuff. If you want to read the story, I don't think there's anything that those pre-bundles want. If you love covers, you can get a pre-bundle exclusive cover, which is kind of nice. I already pre-order, so I don't give a crap. Like this is mostly for like somebody at a store to commit to something. And it's also a danger. A danger that somebody will say, "I want that pre-bundle," and then buy the first one and said, "Oh, this story sucks," and then leave that retailer hanging if they pay for it as they come out. The retailer's the one that prepaid for those 4 issues or 12 issues or whatever, so it's the retailer getting hosed. And a matter of fact, one of my friends, Bill Bear, he had tweeted something interesting the other day. His shop owner sent him something and said, "Bill, I can't be a shop owner anymore. I could try to get you your comics as, through one of these third party things, but I had to close my Diamond account." And the reason he had to close it was because so many of his pull box customers would order stuff and then not pay for what they ordered. So I don't know how big that shop was, and I don't know the situation, but I do see it at my local shop, and it's a horrible situation to get to. Like, it's awful. So a pre-order bundle could be great if somebody wants that extra cover and then wants some extra content, like behind the scenes stuff. If you don't care about the behind the scenes stuff, stay away from it. I did. I bought the XO pre-order bundles. I read them, and then I was like, I don't really feel I need to get these anymore. So now I just get the Valiant bundle, which is a DCBS bundle, which is all the Valiant books, the cover A's, and I'm fine with that. What other to say about the pre-order bundle? The risk is not on the consumer unless you prepay like DCBS, or your DCBS, or sorry, your LCS has your credit card on file. And that's what I would do. I know people would hate me, but I'd say, if you don't pick up your books, I'm going to charge you for what you ordered. And you got to let me know ahead of time, because I ordering, 2, 3 months in advance. There's final order cutoff, so I'd factor that in. But if you're going to cancel a title, you need to let me know ASAP, so I could go to my final order cutoff and say, "I need one less." But because it's a dangerous business to be doing that shit with. Shane Adam Gray says, "What do you think about Secret Empire 10? Are you reading Invincible? Are you enjoying the current Batman Joker Riddler war?" I can't really talk to any of those because I just talked about I'm a mood reader and I haven't been in the mood for Invincible. I haven't read Secret Empire. I went 1 through 4, but that's it. And the Joker Riddler War, I read part one, but haven't felt the urge to go read the rest, even though I have them. And I think that's my way going forward. So if you ask questions about current stuff, you can ask them, but it's a high probability I'm not going to be able to answer it until I get to it, because I'm going to read stuff when I want to read it, and nobody's going to force me to read it because of something. I need to experience a book when I'm in the mood for it. Like when I go out to eat and I'm not craving a hamburger, I don't usually want to go to a burger place. I'll go get a pizza. Well, that's the way I feel with my comics. I need to be in the mood, and I'm in a position where I can do that. In other words, I have all these comics, so I can do what I want. There are people that don't have it. So if you get your 5 to 10 books even a week, you have that those to choose from. You're limited, but I'm in a library mentality, whereas I have everything in stock and I can just go get it when I want it. So that it's a fortunate position that I'm in, but a lot of people aren't in that. Now that might be changing. I might go into a different position, but even still, I could still mood read because of the sheer quantity that I have already in my library, and things like Marvel Unlimited and stuff like that will allow me to read what I want when I want. And if something drastic ever happens, I'm still gonna try to keep the DC universe. There's gonna be stuff that hurts though, like I really like Dynamite. I'm into their world of Pulp and Atari and Red Sonja. I'm into their world of publishing. Dark Horse won't miss too much. I enjoy it. I love some of the titles that are coming out of there, but it's single titles, and that's the way I feel about Image. They're single titles. They're not tightly coupled. So I could just, I would keep Spawn for sure, and I'd keep Savage Dragon and maybe a few others, but I don't know. I enjoy Vault. I'm all in. I'm all in on Catalyst Prime, but could they go away for me? Probably. Valiant would be there. I would try to keep Valiant for just because of the history I have with that publisher. Titan Comics, they've carved a little place in my world where I would like to keep getting Titan Comics. What else is there? Marvel, I would do the Marvel Unlimited. Action Lab, they're almost costing themselves out because the universe that I'm in with Zombie Tramp and stuff, they've gone to $4.99 a comic book. It's like, eesh. Do I enjoy it? Yes. Do I enjoy it that much? No. It's weird because Vamplade, Zombie Tramp, and Dollface are all like that. And even their team up book is like that. So, yeah. I had some more stuff to talk about. So, bear with me while I go get my weekly reads. All right, I'm gonna try to get through this before Barb gets here. So, again, 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, I don't like it. And 1 is I hate it. So, starting at or let's do the summation. This is for week of December 6th through December 18th of 2016. I'm almost into 2017. So here we go. We have a total of 26 books read that week. We have 5 Marvel, 1 Dynamite. DC had 18. Creative Mind Energy 1, and Abstract Studios has 1. So we'll start with the things that I just liked. Supergirl number 4, this is trapped in with a adoptive mother in Argo City. Cyborg Superman, which is her dad, and drones attack Earth. Cameron Chase is fighting them off, and that is the same Cameron Chase from the Chase title back in the DC days. Supergirl freed by frequency power, and art looks like there are no inks. It's a very the Steve Orlando title just hasn't found its way, in my opinion, yet. It's kind of like Superboy was. Oh, not as loose as Superboy was in New 52. That was all over the place, but it hasn't, like, driven it home. None of his books have, in my opinion, since Midnighter. I enjoyed his Midnighter and Apollo, but his Justice League of America, it's usually in this range. Supergirl, I'm liking his Batman Shadow, but I've only read the first issue, so we'll see where that goes. We have Great Lakes Avengers number 2. I just liked it. I think number 1 I liked more, But in they were in Detroit trying to take down a crime organization, and an immortal man had buried himself. It's a very unusual title. If you like Great Lakes Adventure, I highly recommend Googling Kirby Crackle Great Lakes Adventures. It's such a great song. You join the Great Lakes Avengers. It's basically about a guy that has powers, and he goes to Justice League, he goes to the Avengers, he goes to Fantastic Four, and everybody turns him down. So he's like, "Oh, now I gotta settle for the Great Lakes Avengers." So you gotta check that out. Kirby Crackle, Great Lakes Avengers song. Amazing. If you ever get a chance to see Kirby Crackle, fucking awesome. Also the Double Clicks. If you ever get these are this is nerd rock. If you ever get a chance to see the Double Clicks or Kirby Crackle, they're my two favorite nerd bands. And then we have Red Sonja number 0. This goes into the 4 out of 5. She ends up in the current time after battling Kalan Gath. And that's I haven't read much. I think I read 1 and 0 and 1. That was a 25-cent comic, so you should have got on that. It was well worth it. Gotham Academy, second semester, number 4. This was the team versus the Carnival at Midnight. Very good. This is when it started to really click for me, I think, with number 4, and then wherever I ended up with. I heard somebody say, "Man, that should never be a title in a podcast." And I was like, "Motherfucker, you wanna talk about my pet peeves is when somebody says something shouldn't exist just because they don't enjoy it or it sells low. Fuck you. Something just because something doesn't sell well doesn't mean it should exist. It just means not enough people experienced it, unfortunately." Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 5. The group confronts a new Oracle. It's a guy Oracle, and someone who admires Batgirl is stalking them. Or he is the guy who admires Batgirl. Helena's mother is alive and is a very, very bad person. So Helena is the Huntress, and she is the Bernatelli out of the Grayson series. So if you're following continuity, that's the Huntress I'm talking about. Not the Huntress that was in New 52, that was from Earth 2. This is the Bernatelli from the Grayson series. We have World's Finest 173. This was Dr. Aaron, which was a Jekyll and Hyde serum, turned Superman into Kralik. This was fun. And Batman into Two-Face. So it took a Superman villain, and this serum turned the actual heroes into their Jekyll and Hyde counterparts. And that Dr. Aaron guy was the bad guy. He was pretty interesting. That's what I would bring back if I was writing Superman right now. Flash number 12, just a new twist to it. Barry and Wally and Shade take on Iris and Hope, and they free them from the Shadowlands. So that's the Shade, yep, from the Shadow Man series, and Hope is also from the Shadow Man series, and Iris is obviously Barry's woman. So that's Flash 12 on the Rebirth. Suicide Squad number 8, Rebirth, is the Boomerang Ghost in a Machine, and he comes back to life. He was killed originally by Zod. It really is hard to explain how he came back, but he's back. Great Killer Frost backup as she joins the new team. This is the backup that led to Justice League of America. This was far superior to the current Killer Frost. Even the one-shot Killer Frost was really good. DC Rebirth Holiday Special. I hope I'm recording. I'm gonna check. Yeah, I'm recording. Whew. DC Rebirth Holiday Special. It's a great story about Superman not being able to find a gift for his son, but Damian ends up finding one. It has a great Crypto story. The Flash Rogues story was amazing, and Batman and Detective Chimp was phenomenal. We have Deathstroke number 8. Superman confronts Deathstroke. Rose confronts Jericho's fiance, and Jericho takes down his father. which is Deathstroke. Atoll was a shark book, and this is a computer genius and an Olympic level model captured by a group who throws them into a shark area and then films it. It's like a torture type films thing as they get eaten by sharks. Lost Boys number three, the vampire attacks, and they capture Michael, only the Believer and Sam left to fight. So the Believer is the saxophone player in Lost Boys. Action Comics 969, this is the origin of L'Kal and Zaid, who are going after Luthor to prevent him from becoming a god of apocalypse, and Superman goes to help Lex. We got Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures number one. This is Joker and Harley confront Shredder. Batman and Batgirl and Robin confront the Turtles in New York through a portal. Fantastic Four number 411 and 412. This is the team versus Black Bolt, who appears to have gone insane. Invisible Woman sacrifices herself but is saved by Namor. A fight between Reed and Namor as Black Bolt needs Reed's help or he could die. This is really good shit. DeFalco, Fantastic Four. Detective Comics 946. This is the Bat Family takes on the Victim Syndicate, and Spoiler is starting to side with the Syndicate because they start talking to her about how Batman's a bad influence. Very bizarre how that happens. The concept of the Victim Syndicate was started off really, really well. It didn't knock it out of the park as it ended. Motor Girl number two, this is the Junkyard and Aliens. Buyers come out to site to try to buy the junkyard. Whether or not they sell it, that'll be in another issue, I'm sure. We had Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 76. This is versus Edgar Allan Poe and Shakespeare to help a collector of his first print books. That was interesting just because it had that collector mentality, and that's the kids line of DC. Really good issue of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Hawkman number one, Kate is now a PI and gets a job finding a stalker. Think she found the stalker, but she did not. It turns out to be somebody else. So there's a red herring in there. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number five, the team versus Black Mask, with him in control of Bizarro, Black Mask being that character in control of Bizarro. Wonder Woman number 12 is year one. They go after the Seer Group. Ares is with that group. We have New Superman number six, Jail versus the Justice League and Freedom Fighters versus the Great Ten. It was a cluster, but it was pretty amazing. Superman's father makes a great sacrifice for son fighting the human firecracker. And the human firecracker is the human bomb counterpart, for the Chinese freedom fighters. Justice League team decides to work together. This is the Chinese Justice League. And then you discover that Dr. Omen may be the new Superman's mother, and he doesn't know it. Really good issue. Five out of fives. There's a Marvel IVX. You could tell I love Death of X, and then jumped right in. It was five out of five. X-Men attack Inhumans and against Beast's suggestion, because Beast doesn't want them to. He's sympathetic towards the Inhumans' cause. And at this point, Emma's manipulated people, and the X-Men are out to stop the Inhumans, and the Beast is caught in the middle. And we're almost done with that. Was a 5 out of 5, and then we get to another 5 out of 5, which is Superwoman number 5. And this is weird. I don't remember rating this a number 5, but Ultra Woman attacks Metropolis, and Tracy 13 and Natasha go to prevent. Tracy 13 is the daughter of Dr. 13. And if you're into the occult and you remember Dr. 13, you will. And then Tracy 13 was introduced, like, just. I think it's just before New 52 started. But Natasha is Steel's niece. Superwoman dying decides to tackle Lana without Steel, even though it may kill her. So yeah, that was I must have really emotional hit with that. I remember liking the Tracy 13 Natasha, and I guess the Steel stuff really rang a bell with me. And then 5 out of 5 is Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps number 10. Hal's dead and in his ring with the help of the Guardians. Kyle brings Hal back. And you got to remember that Hal had generated his own ring in this world. Larfleeze has a Brainiac and the GL Corps in a bottle. So it has Larfleeze, and it's a Brainiac story because Brainiac collects things in bottles. So that's a summation of the books that were covered. I want to thank you all for listening. Thanks for supporting Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you for the questions from Rob Krieger and Shane. I really appreciate you asking them. It's always good because it helps me train my brain and talk about things passionately to hear questions. So, I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. You can ask me anything, talk to me on Twitter. You can send me questions and say, this is for Mike M's, and I will answer them at any time. I will collect them and then record when the next recording, I will record it. You can also send me email with questions at mike@comicbooknoise.com or comments. I'd be glad to get emails. And you can also go to Facebook and look up Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button and follow any episode threads there or comment on them. If you have comments, that's another way to get a hold of me. Last but not least, well, that's everything. That's pretty much it. And I post on the Taylor Network. You can find me there. And leave an iTunes review. I haven't even checked if I've gotten any, but I always ask for them and they're never there. So I probably should take a look and see if we've got any since the last one. And I think that's it. We're at geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's the website. And you can leave comments at the website as well. So you have a lot of different options. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.